1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your grace. Thank You for Jesus. Lord, we just rejoice today in our salvation, that when we couldn't be good enough ourselves, when we couldn't save ourselves, Jesus, You gave Yourself as the price for our sin. Lord, move among us as only You can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. A made-up mind in a clueless crowd. Okay. And we begin, first of all, this message is going to have 2 points. You'll never guess what they are. A made-up mind and a clueless crowd. Okay? Real difficult. But we begin with our first point of a made-up mind. And the one, of course, we're talking about is the Apostle Paul. This is not working. So y'all can just kind of do it from up there. But we look at Paul and the determination he had, and we start with Paul's declaration. Now, verse 1 says, Paul, when he came to the Corinthians, came not with excellence of speech. Now, not only does he, he's not just talking about pretty words or his ability to be an outstanding orator. That word excellence means superior or with authority. What he's saying is, I didn't come to you as an authority, somebody that you had to listen to because of who I was. That wasn't why Paul wanted them to listen to him. He said, not with excellence of speech, nor did I come to you with wisdom of words. And that's the pretty word part. The words that would just grip you. Have you ever listened to a speaker that you just couldn't help but listen to? I mean, words, they'd use words, and as they'd speak, the more they speak, it was like the closer they got to your ear, and you just couldn't help but listen to that speaker. And Paul says, that's not me. That's not how I came to you. There was nothing about Paul that would cause people to say, he is the best speaker I have ever heard in my life. And there was a reason for that. And it's because Paul did not want them to see Paul or to hear Paul's message. Paul wanted them to hear the message of Jesus Christ. That was Paul's declaration. That's what Paul was all about. The rest was irrelevant. What they thought of Paul didn't matter. How they felt about his preaching, it didn't matter. He just wanted them to get Jesus. Paul's declaration was Jesus Christ. Then we look, Paul even was so bold as to list his disabilities. You ever list your weak points? It's what Paul does here. He said, I was with you in weakness or inability. There was nothing about Paul that said, I'm going to change the city of Corinth when he went there. There was nothing about him relying on himself. As a matter of fact, it's just the absolute opposite. As Paul went in there, his attitude was, I can do nothing of myself. I was with you in weakness and I was with you in fear. That word fear, of course, it means to be afraid, but it also means to be respectful and reverence. And I think in this case, I kind of lean toward that. Paul, as he was preaching and ministering to the Corinthians, he was respectful and he was reverent toward God. But I also believe he was respectful toward the people of Corinth. You know, many people have the idea of mow people over and get them saved. Most of the time, that don't work. If you get in somebody's face and say, look, you're going to burn in hell forever if you don't change your ways, you're probably not going to win them. You've got to be respectful. You have to win them with your caring before you're going to win them with your message. And I think that's the way Paul was. He said, I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. Now, the trembling part is the part that he was afraid. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Lord appeared to Paul in a dream while he was in Corinth. I think it's Acts chapter 18, if memory serves me correct. And he says, God says, look, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. Paul was literally terrified as he ministered in Corinth. The word trembling means just that. Shook. Have you ever been so scared you shook? Well, when I first started preaching, it was like y'all turn to the book of, you know, it was scary. And I don't know why it was scary. And as a matter of fact, still is today. There's always, you never get over 100%, completely get over the nerves. But Paul said, I was with you in weakness and fear and in trembling. And I wasn't with you, or I didn't use persuasive speech there in verse 4. As a matter of fact, as I read this, Paul would have been the poster child on how not to begin a ministry. You know, I mean, he did it all wrong. There was no big show. He didn't do a mass mailing to reach the crowds before he started preaching. He didn't have an excellent video presentation to go along with his message. He did it all wrong. There was no reason that Paul should have been successful in Corinth. Absolutely no reason. Nothing about him would cause people to say, man, I want what he's got. Except one thing, a determination that Paul had. Paul said in verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That word determined, it doesn't mean just to have a determination about you where you keep on keeping on. That word determined means to make up your mind. Paul made up his mind before he ever began to minister in Corinth that there was going to be one central theme, one central focus to his ministry, and that one central focus was going to be the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now I realize in many situations today that would just seem like that's not enough. But I challenge that because that is everything, my friend. A lot of times we have misguided compassions. We look at the ills of society. We look at those who are in poverty and we want to give them money. And because giving them money makes us feel good and it helps them out of a tough situation. We see children who don't have food to eat and we want to give them food to eat because it makes us feel good because we've helped them out of a situation. We see children who don't have coats and every winter you'll see coat drives going on and all that's well and good. But I want you to understand today that the greatest need that our society has is Jesus Christ and knowing who Jesus Christ is. It is still a simple message. It has not changed in the last 2,000 years. And I believe with all my heart, the message still changes lives. It's not the speaker. So if you're worried about, I'll say the wrong thing or not turn to the right passage, don't worry about that. It's not your message. It's not the church and the different ministries of the church. It's the message of Jesus Christ that makes the difference. That was Paul's focus. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then we come to God's dynamic results. Notice Paul's declaration, Paul's disabilities, Paul's determination. But it's God's dynamic result. See, God is the one who gives the increase. The awesome thing that Paul mentions there in verse 4 is that I didn't come to you in human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. To put it in our language, that Paul's message of Christ crucified worked. People responded to that message. As I said, Paul may have been the poster child of how not to do it according to human wisdom. But in our weakness, God is made strong. God knows what's needed. And I thought, as I was thinking about this message, I thought at the vast array of messages that are going out today. I mean, religion is a regular smorgasbord or an all-you-can-eat spiritual food bar. I mean, you can have anything you want within the Baptist ranks alone. Let me just share with you what's available. Among the Baptists, there's the American Baptist, Southern Baptist, Baptist Missionary Association, National Baptist Convention, Association of Reformed Baptists, Regular Baptists, Conservative Baptists, Continental Baptist, Full Gospel Baptist, Fundamental Baptist, Independent Baptist, Institutional Baptist, Old Regular Baptist, Old Time Baptist, Progressive Baptist, Reformed Baptist, Separate Baptist, Seventh-day Baptist, Predestinarian Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Free Will Baptist, General Baptist, Sovereign Grace Baptist, and United Baptist, just to name a few. Here's the message that's gone out. You want to be a Baptist? Come on, we'll give you. You can choose and pick at whatever you want. And we didn't even get to the Methodist or the Presbyterian or the Pentecost. You know, we kind of stopped on Baptist because that's what we are. And not just the denomination, but the specialty options that are available. You know, we're like doctors of our day. There are not many general practitioner doctors anymore. Most of them are specialists, you know. And when I have a problem in that particular area, I'm really glad that they're specialists, because I want to go to a heart doctor if my heart's not working right, you know. But our spirituality has also moved in that direction. And we have an array of spiritual specialists. Marriage counselors, family counselors, financial counselors, youth pastors, youth ministers, senior adult ministers, women's ministries, men's ministries, single ministries, recovering from addiction ministries, homeless ministries, and on and on and on. And oh, the theology that is available. My goodness. Once saved, always saved. Speaking in tongues, miracles, baptism, church discipline. On and on it goes. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, rapture, creation, young earth, old earth, gap theory, and on it goes. And sometimes I think it is. It's like going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. What'll you have? Well, I'll just have this because it's what I want. The thing is, the messages that are going out do not seem to be changing lives. And the reason, you've got to change a heart before you can change a life. And don't get me wrong. All these ministries and marriage ministries, family ministries, they're all wonderful and good. Okay. But you can paint a rotten house. And after you paint it, the wood's still rotten underneath. Okay? If you don't change the heart, you can do all the painting with all the ministries that you want to do, and nothing will change. The change happens at the cross of Calvary. When you accept Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. I don't want you today to be a Baptist. I don't want you to be a whatever you want. I want you to be a child of God. I want you to hear the message that Jesus Christ died for you. That He took your punishment upon the cross of Calvary. That He gave His all so that you could live. You see, that's the wages of sin is death according to the Bible. And because you've sinned, you're going to die. But Jesus said, I'll take His punishment. The Son of God. God proved His love to you. If you ever question, does God love me? Here you go. He loved you so much that He gave His Son to go to the cross of Calvary, where He was nailed to that cross, where He was spat upon, where He wore the crown of thorns, where He was mocked, where He was humiliated. And He did it all because He loved you, to take your punishment. That's what we deserved. That's the message of Christ crucified. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't deserve your way into God's graces. Our only hope is the salvation of God that He provides. Because see, when we couldn't reach up to God, He reached down to us through Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, I want you to get the message today. That message is Jesus Christ crucified for you. And for me. And what are you doing with it? I want us as Christians today to realize that still has to be our main focus. Whether we're dealing in Awana, whether we're dealing in men's ministry or women's ministry, whether we're dealing in choir, whatever we're dealing with, that has to be the central message. Jesus Christ crucified. As Brother Dale so eloquently put it a while ago, that's where everything else is built upon. It's Jesus. 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 Why is it such an important message? It's an important message because of the clueless crowd that is around us. Oh my goodness. It amazes me, you know, that not everybody gets it. You know, and I back up, and I'll be honest with you, I don't get it that everybody doesn't get it. If that makes any sense to you. Verse 9. I want to call your attention there to just a moment, to what Paul wrote. He said, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We often take that scripture and we use that scripture to say, you can't imagine what's in heaven. That's not the context of that scripture. Okay? That's not what Jesus is trying to say, or that's not what Paul is trying to share with us. When he makes this statement, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about lost people who do not get the message of the cross. How do you know that? Well, you look at the verses before. Verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear. You see? He's talking about those who didn't see it, who didn't get it. I also know that's his line of thinking, because in verse 10, he said, but God has revealed them to us. Who's he talking about? He's talking about saved people. God has revealed to some in this congregation this morning who Jesus Christ is. And it made a difference. It changed your life. Amen. But there are some who don't get it. There are some who are looking through blinded eyes. Eyes that Satan has blinded. They just can't see what Jesus has done for you, because the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded their eyes. It's that type of person that looks around and says, oh, well, I'm as good as anybody else. Amen, you sure are. You're as good as anybody else. I agree with you 100%. You are. you're also as sinful as anybody else. And it's not the goodness that you have to deal with, it's the sin that you have to deal with. The ones who can't see are the ones who look at others and say, well, if they're going to heaven, then I sure am. You don't get it. You're going to heaven's not based on what I do. It's not. The comparison is not, well, I'm comparing myself to Brother Doug, and if he's going to heaven, surely I'm good. No. No. Nowhere in the Bible, God's holy word, does it say, if you're as good as somebody else, then you'll go to heaven. Does not exist. The God of this world is blinding your eyes. The God of this world are blinding the eyes of those people who say, well, that church is just full of hypocrites, so I don't do spiritual things. You know, I just, the modern day religion stuff, I just don't. Listen, not even going to argue with you. Probably are hypocrites in this church. I'd probably have to be in the front of the line. Because I'm like Paul. Those things which I would do, I do not. Those things I would not, those things I do. I'm a sinner. You watch me long enough, I'll disappoint you. If you want to call that hypocrisy, that's fine. But I want you to understand, you're not going to heaven or hell based upon me or anybody else. Your eternity will be decided upon your or by your personal relationship with God. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And if you have never accepted the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made upon the cross of Calvary for you, it's a personal commitment that you have to make. The central message today, Christ crucified, if you have not received that gift that came from God, you're not going to heaven. Think about opening your eyes today. Think about taking a hard look. Because the way you're going, you're one of those that eye has not seen. You've never stopped. Pray, God, open my eyes. Ears have not heard. You can't hear the call that comes from Calvary. You know, you ever study the things that Jesus said on the cross of Calvary? It's life changing. But one of the greatest blessings or phrases that came from Calvary to me is as Jesus had suffered, after he had suffered that beating that would have just completely annihilated his flesh, after he carried that cross and collapsed beneath that cross, after they had nailed his hands and feet and lifted him up on that cross, after they had made fun of him, spit upon and mocked him, after everything, when he was at the end, you know what he said? It is finished. The reason that is so dynamic is because literally it means paid in full. You and I have a sin debt. Because you have messed up, there is punishment coming. And that punishment is eternal separation from God. But see, Jesus, when he went to that cross of Calvary and he hung there and he paid for every sin that you've ever committed and every sin that I've ever committed, and at the end of it he said, paid in full. Doug Hamburg, Michael Weatherford. Yeah. Can you put your name there? The debt has to be paid. Can you hear the message from the cross? Paid in full. Finally, blinded eyes, deaf ears, and trying to reason with unreasonable minds. Paul said, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. See, most people just can't seem to get a grip on it. They just can't imagine why God would give His Son for them. And I'll agree, that is hard to get a hold of. I will agree. But you know what? We have heroes, war heroes, who have given their all in battle. And what do? We honor them. I had mentioned to you before, I'm a Sergeant York guy. You know, if you've never watched the movie Sergeant York, you've never watched a movie. Okay, it's a good one, I'm telling you. But the idea behind that movie was the heroic actions of Sergeant York. I mean, he put himself in harm's way so that others would live. And they interviewed him in the movie afterwards. And so I don't know how much is movie and how much is reality. But when they interviewed him, they asked him about killing people. And he said, he looked at those machine gun nests that he was going to have to storm. And he watched as they were killing his people. And his basic idea was, I just couldn't stand by and let that happen. So I did something about it. Here's the story of Jesus. You're a sinner. You need help. Jesus, knowing that you can't earn heaven on your own, He looked and said, I love them enough. I'm going to do something about it. And He came to this earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And at the end of that perfect and sinless life, after, you know, that's why He was the Lamb without blemish. There was no fault in Him. After He lived that perfect, sinless life, He gave Himself to the cross of Calvary as the Lamb without blemish to be crucified for you and for me, taking our punishment. Now listen, if I can believe that there are war heroes that would put themselves in harm's way, war heroes that would throw themselves on a live hand grenade to save their buddies, I can accept that. And understanding that there has been a war of good and evil since the beginning of mankind, and Satan has been deceiving mankind. He's been destroying lives. And he has been devastating the eternity of mankind ever since the beginning. And you know what? I kind of get a glimpse of why God did what He did. Giving His Son. He gave His all so that I could live. Now I ask you, is Jesus Christ not the ultimate hero? Jesus crucified for our sins. The good news is He's not dead. You know? I mean, if He was just crucified, that would mean so much. He gave Himself for me. But the good news is He was crucified, He was buried, and after 3 days, my friends, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, got up, come out of that grave, alive. And now today, He's seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting on your call to make intercession for you and for me. You want to know how to be saved? Call out to Jesus. Ask His forgiveness. Knowing He is the Son of God who gave His life for you, ask Him to save you. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you saved? If not, my friends, today's the day. Hear the call of Calvary. Listen. Open your blinded eyes. Open your deaf ears. Clear your clouded mind. And ask Jesus to save you. I beg you. During this invitation, will you come to Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven? Thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation that you have given through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we couldn't save ourselves, you provided a way. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done on our behalf. And now I pray for those in this service who have never made a personal commitment to you. I pray that right here, right now, today, they will commit their life to you. That they will call upon you for salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the courage to make it public. Give them the courage to walk down this aisle and to make a commitment to you. I pray, Lord, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.